Good morning, folks. The topic for today is resume building for servant leaders. But I thought I'd give you a little mystery before we get into the topic. Listening to Tim up here lead and Greg as he played the piano, and in studying for this topic, I've gained a newfound respect for people with musical ability. Now, I know you guys are really good at connecting to the dots. I'm not going to connect the dots for you. I'll let you do it as we work our way through, and maybe you'll see some of the characters we talk about this morning and what I mean by that little hidden connect the dots mystery for you. A question for you to start off with. How many of you guys have completed something like a job application or a resume or filled out a CV? Raise your hand. I'd just like to see. Okay, well, that's great. Then I've got some good foundation here to work with. I looked up the definition of the word resume in the dictionary. It goes something like this. A brief written account of personal, educational, and professional qualifications and experience. And I thought, well, I'm going to look up the definition of a CV. CV stands for curriculum vitae. It says a brief biological resume of one's career and training. I would probably propose to you, though, that a resume isn't just something on paper. You have to have something to write about. In my work as a CPA, which is going on now for about 32 years, our firm frequently visits college campuses and interviews prospective applicants. And we're looking at the life experiences of the people we interview to see if they can be a benefit to others in the future. In fact, way back when I graduated from college, I completed a resume and was trying to summarize my life experiences that I thought could be used by others in the future or be of service to others in the future. Transition down a few years, and today, when I'm working with prospective clients, they don't ask me for my resume. They ask me for my CV, curriculum vitae. Somehow it's picked up something to me. Maybe a little bit more seasoned experience is expected. Sometimes when I present my CV, it's in very competitive situations, meaning there's other people they're looking at too, and they're saying, I wonder if he is the one who can be of service to us. That's kind of like a little bit of the history of my work-related CV. But I also have another CV that God's molded and worked on me through the years with. And that was one with a little bit more of a spiritual focus. For example, I've taught a Sunday school class for about 30 years, averaging about 44 lessons a year. And you guys can think about all the study that goes into preparing a lesson like that and what that does to build your experience base. God's also allowed me to do some other things. He's allowed me to be a deacon in the church for a number of years, although I'm on a current break. He's allowed me to be a committee leader of some very important committees. He's also allowed me to do other things, even go to other churches and do an operational review of churches for best practices. A lot of fun. So God has done a number of things with me over the years to help me become a servant leader. So back to the topic, resume building for servant leaders. That was a little bit about me. Now let's talk a little bit about you. I believe that God is molding you to become servant leaders. In fact, I believe your time here at ABC is a part of that molding and growing, such that at some point you'll have something to add to your resume, your CV. So to state that one more time, I believe while you're here at ABC, you're building a resume. One of the interesting things I'm getting to do at the moment at our church is I'm on a pulpit committee. Our associate pastor came to our church with no prior experience, was our associate pastor for 7 or 8 years, and now has been called off to be a senior pastor at another church. So now we're looking at resumes and CVs of people seeking a ministry position and seeking to serve. And it's really very interesting because we get all those resumes, and guess what we do? We look at them for life experiences to see how God's molded them to be of service to others, to become servant leaders. So I believe God molds us to be servant leaders for Him. As an example for you, some of you guys may be called to be a pastor, to be a servant leader as a pastor. Someone else might be called to be that pastor's wife, but also a servant leader because they may be the leader of a women's ministry. So I believe God is molding us to be able to use us all in the future. We know too, if you look at the New Testament, that God's given us gifts. He's also given us talents and abilities. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it refers to the fact that having then gifts according to the grace that's been given to us, it says, let us use them. So God wants us to use our gifts that He's given. And He also wants us to use our talents and our abilities as He's helped mold them. And I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, if you have your Bibles with you, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to look at a character in Scripture that hopefully everyone knows the story, because I'm going to assume that you do and jump right into it. But if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 8, we're jumping into the story of David versus Goliath. And I think you probably know the story that there was a valley, the army of the Philistines was arrayed on one side, the army of Israel was on the other. And for a number of days, a challenge went forth that was unmet. And then we pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 11. It says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I think you know the story that's about to take place as far as David. David's about to arrive on the scene. However, he is not looking, I don't think, to become a national hero. He's on a mission from his father Jesse to deliver some food to his brothers who are fighting. Well, thinking about fighting, or maybe they're afraid to fight, or maybe they're just standing back looking at Goliath. But I think David saw an opportunity to use the talents and the abilities and how God had molded him in the past to be of service to others, to become a servant leader. And we're going to read some more verses here, but you'll think about that. Saul was looking at David, and you'd say, why would Saul send an untrained shepherd boy out to battle with a giant like Goliath? So let's read on just a little bit further. Of course, it could have been that David was the only volunteer for some reason, but 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's look down to verse number 33. What's taking place here is Saul's interviewing David because he's heard that David is willing to fight. So he's trying to determine, is David the right guy for the job? Verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine, to fight with him. For you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So David's applied for the job. The king, King Saul, says, "You're too young. You're not a man of war. Look at this guy." So what does David do in response? Well, he reaches in his pouch and pulls out his resume. And he reads it to Saul. Pick it up with me there in verse number 34. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And he went, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" So what reason did David give Saul that he was the man for the job? He pulls out his resume and shows Saul what God had used him for in the past. The experiences God had given him. The experiences that enabled David to become a servant leader at this moment for a time such as this. Now, lions and bears are pretty tough animals, aren't they? Well, I've got some very personal experiences with bears, called black bears in West Virginia. Sometimes I use a .30-06 rifle, and other times I use a Q2, which is a bow from Matthews, but I can assure you I've never used a sword or a spear. Now, bears are very strong. Have you guys ever seen a rock that's just creeping a little bit out of the ground, and it's really mostly buried, kind of like an iceberg? Well, I've seen a black bear grab one of those rocks and pull it out of the ground. For me, it would take about 40 minutes with a mattock and a shovel, and I could probably get the rock out after a lot of effort. That's how strong a black bear can be. They can be very, very strong. And to share with you a little bit more of my personal experiences with black bears, I was hunting in Greenbrier County one fall afternoon, bear hunting for black bears with my .30-06 rifle. By the way, I hunt with a rifle that's called a bolt action. That means you have to shuffle the bolt every time you take a shot. So I'm working my way up a little ridge, beautiful little spot of woods. I'm starting to get a little tired, so I decide to take a little break. So I step off the trail just a couple steps and lean up against a clump of trees. I hadn't even finished leaning up against the trees, and here comes a black bear running in front of me across, perpendicular to my path. It's going to cross the trail 15 yards in front of me. If you've ever looked through a scope, at 15 yards, everything looks big. So this black bear passes behind a big oak tree at 15 yards directly on the trail. I take my .30-06 gun, squeeze off a shot. I didn't realize it at the time because all I could see was black, but the bear was loping upward when I squeezed the shot. I later determined that the bullet barely grazed the bottom of the bear's chest, making it very mad. Of the 360 degrees that thing could have taken off on, guess which direction it came? Yes, it looked like I was going to be dinner. I made a mistake when I took my shot, something I don't usually do. I guess I was overconfident. I dropped my rifle down to my waist level. When the bear came after me, I had time to shuffle the bolt, but I didn't have time to raise the gun. I had to take a shot, caught a hip shot at the bear. The bear stopped, and when I could take one step and touch its nose. Now, people often ask me if I was really afraid when that happened. Did I get scared? The answer is, it happened so fast, you could literally blink your eyes twice and it was over. And I tell them, I really didn't get scared until I realized when I went to skin the bear, I'd left my knife at the camp because that was my next weapon of choice. In other words, I couldn't have taken one more shot with the gun. So I've got some personal experiences with bears, and maybe with some lions that we'll talk about as well. Now, lions are killers. And the feat that David has recounted here from his resume, to me, is a monumental act of courage, an incredible act of courage. Do you realize how effective lions are at killing? They can weigh several hundred pounds. And man, are they effective at killing. But God had molded David through his earlier life experiences to be able to deal with this circumstance. David may have been reflecting on things like this because in Psalm 18:32 he said, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Now, I would probably suggest that you guys will face lions as well, lions in ministry. One of the lions that you'll face that can have a very vicious attack is called criticism. Its claws can rip at your heart and soul. But your learning and your experiences, like here at ABC, can equip you to deal with lions like criticism. Criticism can be a really tough thing. Some people run from it. Other people hang tough and work through it. Now, let me share some other things with you about David. It was really interesting, I thought, that David surrounded himself with people he could trust, people with resumes he could understand. Flip over with me, if you have your Bible, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. David was looking for a bodyguard, someone to protect him. And he was going through the job applicants, looking at their resumes. Okay, I may be ad-libbing just a little bit here, but I think you get the picture. So Dave was looking for a bodyguard. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20, the story goes like this. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He had also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among the mighty three. The last phrase in that next verse says, "And David appointed him over his guard," or i.e. bodyguard. Now, again, can you imagine chasing a lion? Something that can run 35 miles an hour, that has really sharp teeth and claws, and can weigh 500 pounds? When David was looking for a bodyguard, I can just kind of picture him flipping through the resumes again. He comes to the first one. Majored in security, University of Jerusalem. No, that one isn't quite it. Next resume. Internship with the palace guard. No, that one's not quite it. Next one. Worked for Loomis Armored Chariots. No, that one's not quite either. But then he comes to one that says, "I killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day." Now David's thinking, man, I can identify with this guy. We're lion killers. You think about it. Benaiah. He faced the worst of enemies, a lion. In the worst of places, a pit. Under the worst of conditions, a snowy, snowy, slippery day. Now, one little footnote about Benaiah. He later became in charge of Solomon's army. As you think about the events we've talked about so far, it seems like God is in the business of strategically positioning us to be able to go through a life experience that will equip us to become servant leaders. The problem is the right place may seem like the wrong place, meaning like being in a pit with a lion. And the right time may seem like the wrong time. Wasn't it someone else's turn to watch the flock when the lions and the bears were attacking? But I think our calling is much higher than running from lions. You actually may be called to chase a lion. Now, one more real important question for you. Can you imagine facing a lion unarmed? They've got their teeth and claws. What have you got? What do you think your chances of survival would be facing a lion unarmed? I certainly wouldn't want to do it. It did give me a little bit of fright once I realized that my knife was back at the camp and my gun wasn't going to be of any use anymore with the bear. So one other thing about lions, sometimes they roam in prides. And if you guys have ever looked at some of the nature shows where they show a pride of lions attacking, boy, is that a scary sight. Well, let's talk about another character in Scripture that faced more than one pride of lions, Daniel. When people think about Daniel, they don't realize that he had a weapons permit. And he was facing not just one lion, but two different prides, two different lion prides. The first lion pride that Daniel faced was a group of corrupt governors and officials that he actually served with. The second pride of lions that he faced, well, they were in the den. And so what was Daniel armed with? What do you guys think? Prayer. What else? Faith. Daniel was armed. And we should be armed as well. The verse from the meditation was Ephesians 6:11. It tells us we should put on the whole armor of God, that we should be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it mentions the list of them, including faith. Now, in my wallet, I do happen to have a weapons permit. It's issued by the state of West Virginia. Plastic laminate. But I also have a weapons permit issued by a higher authority. And we just read about it in Ephesians. And I carry that one in my heart. So we should be armed. We should realize that we have a weapons permit. But these aren't the only weapons we have. In Scripture, we have a number of weapons we can call upon and use. Prayer was mentioned. Calling down the power of God. Rejoicing is a weapon. Psalm 118:24, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And then giving thanks. Giving thanks is a powerful weapon to fight things like the lines of criticism. So what lines will you guys face in the future? We could make a list of them. It could be the line of something simple like starting a new church. That could be a challenge. It's an opportunity. Or it could be something different in ministry. That could be a lion. Or it could be something even harder, like dealing with what I would call a well-intentioned dragon. That's a church member who's going, well, off track. They think they're doing something good, but they're really harming the church. And then there's that roaring lion that's mentioned in the New Testament that we have to be armed for as well. So my challenge to you guys today is watch for opportunities to chase lions. God can use those opportunities to turn you into a servant leader, just like he did with King David, with Benaiah, and others. And yes, it's true, the lines that they were fighting may have been vicious and difficult. We may face different types of lions, but they can also become vicious and difficult. I certainly wouldn't want to face them unarmed, would you? So recognize that God, even this week at Appalachian Bible College, is wanting to help you build your resume. He's wanting to turn it into a curriculum vitae that says, these are my life experiences that will help me become a servant leader to be able to serve others now and in the future. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to face the attackers and the enemies of your kingdom unarmed. We thank you, Lord, that we have you behind us, that we walk for you, that we go forth for you. We thank you for the many privileges that you give us. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.